We sometimes, I think, lose track of the blessings that we have in this life because they are common. We see them a lot. I don't know if anybody was out the other day when it was 102, but one of the things that I like doing on a hot day, especially if you've done something outside that's kind of strenuous, like, well, when it's 102, walking from the garage to the house is kind of strenuous. But anyway, but anything, any kind of that, so you feel kind of warm. One of the things I like to do is have a nice glass of ice water. And if you've ever done that, that ice water is the best thing on the face of the earth. And of course, we can have it every day. But because the circumstances kind of remind us what, you know, how wonderful that is. And we want to remember, too, that there are a large part of this world has trouble finding water that is even worth drinking, you know, that doesn't have diseases in it, you know, malaria and typhus and all those things. And so we want to, something like that can remind us the blessing we have just to have that kind of thing here. And this week on the news or on the news outlets, you know, I see this all the time, Christians in some parts of the world being slaughtered. And here we are, you know, perfectly safe in general anyway, but especially safe to gather, to do this as we want to do. And this is being able to do this without being harassed is indeed a blessing. And in the early days of the church, that wasn't true. But today, in this place, of course, in this country, we can do this. And that is a wonderful thing, and it's good to be reminded of that. And the point I'm making is that we sometimes, I say, lose track of the blessings that and the wonderful things that we have in this life. And that's what, you know, the stories from the time of the Exodus, I don't think they're there primarily to sort of scold the Israelites, because they're in Scripture. So if they're in Scripture, they must have a lesson for us today, and they do. They have been freed. Here the people are in the Sinai Desert, and they have been freed. This is after the parting of the Red Sea. This is after they've been freed from slavery. So they've seen that God can work, but they have little faith. They're grumbling, and they're saying, well, here we are in this desert, you know. Well, sure, we've been freed from slavery, but what are we going to eat? They, what they said was, let's go back and be slaves again, because at least there we have enough to eat. Rather than saying, okay, God brought us out of, you know, brought us through the Red Sea, you know, what are we going to eat? How is he going to do this? So in any event, they lose faith, and God, of course, reminds them that he is God and gives them this manna, this bread from heaven, and these quails. And it is enough for them to eat. It is enough for them to sustain them for 40 years in the desert. Of course, they lose the perspective on that as well. And there is one point in the narratives where the people say, "Well, sure, we've got enough to eat, but it's boring." So they wanted to go. Here, they weren't going to sell their freedom for food to eat. They were going to sell their freedom for, well, let's go back to Egypt where we had leeks and garlics and onions, and you know, our diet wasn't so bland. But in any event, they lost perspective. They lost what a miracle and a blessing it was to be God's people and to be free. So in any event, and we do that too sometimes, not just with things like water and safety and the life that we have in this country. We especially lose track of the great gift that God gives us, which is himself, Jesus. We have the beginning of this wonderful bread of, called the Bread of Life Discourse in John chapter 6. And the setup for it is that they are on one side of the Sea of Galilee, the lake. They are on one side of the lake, and that's where Jesus did the, this is in John's Gospel, that's where Jesus did the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay, so the people are there. They have 5 loaves, 2 fish, and they feed all these people, and there's more left over than they started with. And that's pretty amazing. So the disciples and Jesus went to the other side of the lake so they could be by themselves and they could be away from the crowds for a while. The disciples took a boat across. Jesus walked, because he's Jesus, you know. So he walks across, and they're over there, and the people wake up, and they say, oh, let's go find them. So they get into boats, and they go over. So that's when we have the setup here. That's where we have it. And they ask Jesus. Jesus says, you came here because you were fed. And I'm telling you that I will feed you, but don't worry so much about food that's going to sustain your life. Work for food that sustains eternal life. And he's got their attention. And he says, work for food that, he says that, well, the first then they ask him, well, how do we work for food? He said, believe in the one who sent me. And belief in this case is not just assenting to the doctrine. Belief is faith, really. Belief is sort of being all in with being a follower of Christ. Belief is being, is not just what we are, but what we do, how we live, and all those things. But that's another. That's a whole other branch of what I want to talk about. So, but believe in the one who sent me. That's the work, he said. So it's not so much that you can earn it, but it's a matter of orienting your life around that. And they say, okay, believe in the one who sent me. And this is the food can sustain eternal life. And they say, oh, sounds good. Lord, give us this bread always. And he says, I am the bread of life. And, oh, here you go. You know, God sent to the people in the desert manna and quails. Now God sends Jesus, who is the bread of life. And we will learn later that this is actual bread, it's actual food and all of that. But Jesus reminds us that he is the bread of life. He himself. And so then when we receive this bread, we are receiving Jesus. We are receiving food that can sustain us for life eternal, food that can nourish us, food that can nourish our faith, which is important, because it is Jesus himself. It is Jesus who went to the cross, Jesus who rose from the dead, Jesus who lives now, Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father. He gives himself to us, and he continues to do so. We refer to this sacrament as the source and the summit of our faith. Indeed it is, because it is Jesus. And so, but we can lose perspective on it because we receive it so often. We receive it weekly. Some people, we can receive it if we wish daily. Each time we gather, we receive Jesus, because you can't exhaust Jesus. No matter how many times you receive him, there's always more, because he is Jesus. So we receive it because we need, our faith needs ongoing nourishing, just like our bodies do. So it's good to be reminded of what a wonderful gift this is. This is the greatest gift that we can have. That's why we call this celebration Eucharist, Thanksgiving, because it is indeed something to thank God for. I can't remember who it was that said this, whether it was a Catholic or a Protestant or who it was, but somebody said recently, they said, if Catholics really believed what they say they believe, they would spend their whole lives on their knees thanking God for this gift that he's given us. And that is the time that they didn't spend receiving it. Of course, God doesn't want us to do that. God doesn't ask us to do that. God asks us to believe. God asks us to receive. God asks us to love one another, to love him, and to love one another. That's what God asks us to do. But it's good, as I say, to be reminded of what a gift this is, a gift that is Jesus himself, the gift that this food gives us life eternal, sustains us life eternal, nourishes our faith, and all of that. This gift that is the source and summit of our faith, this gift that is Jesus, the bread of life.